just raised a hand and was real happy and proud. He looked at him and he smiled and he said, Mark only has 16 chapters. So now I will proceed with my sermon on the sin of lying. This morning, I don't want you to be worried about me asking you to raise your hand because I'm not going to do that. I don't want to embarrass you, and I definitely don't want to encourage you to become a sinner this morning. But what I have done is I have put cheat sheets in your programs so that next week when we ask you to raise your hand, you won't have to be worried about being a sinner. So everybody look in your program, and in the back you'll find a card, a 4x6 card. And that card is for you to take notes on, and it's also for you and I towards the end to come together and talk about something. So right now, just let it be there. Eons ago, the beginning of time, there were two types of beings created. There were magical beings and there were human beings. The magical beings were given a power of the universe, the creative force, that substance that creates life. They were given that power, to have dominion over that power. But they were afraid to give it to the human beings because they thought that the human beings might not know how to use it. So they decided to keep the human beings in the dark. And they held a conference of all the magical beings. And they said, okay, what can we do to keep the humans from getting this power, this creative substance of the universe? So they decided, okay, we will keep them in the dark by hiding it. So they decided, someone said, well, I know we can take it and put it at the bottom of the ocean. Someone said, no, man loves to discover. He'll go to the bottom of the ocean and he'll find it. Somebody said, okay, we'll put it at the top of the tallest mountain. Somebody said, no, man's very adventurous. He'll go up there just because he can climb that mountain and he'll find it. Someone said, okay, we'll take it to the deepest forest and we'll bury it deep in the ground. Someone said, no, man's very industrious. One day he'll cut down all these trees and he'll build something and he'll find it. So they thought and they thought. So a magical being stepped up that was very ancient, very old. And he said, I know where we can hide this power. And man will never, ever look there. This power that's called love, I know where we can hide it. We will hide it in the heart of man because man will never look there. And that's what they did. They took that magical power and they put it in the heart of man. And that's where that power lives today. And it's called power of love. Now this morning, I'm going to be talking about the power of the grateful heart, but also I'm going to be talking about how we sustain it, how we keep it going. Much has been written about the power of a grateful heart. Many of us have read books, we've been in classes, we understand. But this morning, I want to have a different perspective. I don't want to just look at the power of a grateful heart as something that we have. I want to actually focus on the power, that power that is within our hearts. And so what I decided to do, instead of just looking at our religious literature, I decided to look into the scientific world to actually see what this power is. Because today, science is shifting. Science is finding out so many things that it never knew before. And science is beginning to line up with all the religious teachings. Those teachings that we've been talking about for years, science is finally starting to catch up. So I had three questions that I posed that I needed answers to. The first question, what is this power contained in the heart of mankind? Like, what is this power? Scientific fact. There is a power within the heart that is called the initiator of life. It is the power that grants us physical existence. It starts the autorhythmic beating of the heart in an unborn fetus, even before the brain is formed. Science has no idea what causes this beating to begin. They don't even know when it's going to start. They just know that it begins. It is this very first connection point between the physical body and the creative source, or God. This power is the seat of the soul. Now, this is out of scientific community. The second question that I pose, how does this power actually operate in the heart? Like, how does it operate? Fact two, it operates through an electromagnetic field that's 5,000 times greater than the brain. And this field extends out 10 feet beyond the physical body. We've been saying this in our teachings. This fact sustains the spiritual teachings that we have been saying, that their energy field intermingles between each one of us. So right here, sitting now, all of us are intermingling because that heart energy is moving around. It enables healing to take place, and it also enables negativity to take place because we're all connected. And we have been saying this. Now science is verifying this for us. The third and last question that I asked, how does this power actually create a grateful heart? Fact three, there are over 40,000 nerve cells in the heart alone, indicating that the heart has its own independent nervous systems. Sometimes it's called the brain in the heart or the intuitive, intelligent power. Again, this is coming out of scientific literature. When we hold genuine feelings of gratitude or compassion or happiness, this intuitive intelligence in the heart increases and surges through us, creating a grateful heart energy. This energy radiates outward and enables us to influence the world around us. That's what it means when we say there's a power inside of the grateful heart. It's an actual physical power that can be measured. The evidence around the holidays confirms what I just read. When I lived in the Bay Area in Oakland, I used to drive from Oakland to San Francisco every day, and we went across the toll bridge on the Bay Bridge. If you know the Bay Bridge, it has like 20 toll plazas across. It's large. Every single year, something happened around the holidays, and I termed it pay it backwards. Somebody would go through the toll booth. They'd pay for themselves, and they'd pay for the car behind them. And then the next person would pay for themselves and pay for the car behind them. Sometimes people would pay for the three cars behind them. And what happened one year, it took off and snowballed in such a way that it went on for almost a month. And it jumped from toll booth to toll booth. So there wasn't just one toll booth, it was many happening. And some people would deliberately try to get to the toll booth that they were in the day before so that they could continue to participate. Why is that? Because they were feeling the energy. They knew that something was going on, but they didn't quite understand what it was. Well, now we understand. It's that energy. It's that hardness that they were experiencing. So there's a question that begs to be answered. If we can generate the power of a grateful heart during the holiday season and we all feel good and we're all about Thanksgiving and we're about gratitude, why can't we continue to have this occurring year-round? Why can't that happen year-round? Why does it stop? Ernest Holmes wrote in The Power of an Idea, gratitude is not only a virtue, but it also is a part of a practical, philosophical, of daily life, philosophy of daily life. There is no wiser way of living than to remember every morning what life has given us. and to lift up our thought in thanksgiving for every bounty we possess. I love Ernest Holmes, but Ernest Holmes sometimes is over my head. So I simplified that, and I put it this way. If you want to sustain the power of a grateful heart, live life with an attitude of gratitude. Just live life with an attitude of gratitude. How can we have the power of a grateful heart as our default setting? You know, on the computers, we put all this stuff into them, and eventually they stop working, and they say, take it back to the default setting. How can we have the power of a grateful heart and living life with an attitude of gratitude become our default setting? How can we do that? I thought about this, and I came up with two different ways. One way is that it may be caused by external events. The other way is that you simply make a choice, and then you have it happen in your world. I had an unexpected event occur in my life when I was 13 years old, and that event caused me to start living life with an attitude of gratitude. And it also caused me to always have the power of a grateful heart as my default setting. One night, our apartment caught on fire. And I got out of there with just seconds before I watched the ceiling above my bed cave in. And as I stood outside watching that, something shifted within me. It didn't matter that everything in the house was burning down. What mattered to me in that instant is that I was standing outside looking in. And I wasn't inside trying to get out. There was a physical shift that occurred inside of me. And in that moment, life became totally a grateful place for me. My default setting was set so that no matter what goes on in my world, and it is exactly that way today, I live my life with an attitude of gratitude, and a grateful heart is my default setting. Now that occurred because something external caused that change within me. But we can also make a choice to have that change happen. You do not have to have that kind of event occur in your life. John F. Kennedy had a famous quote on gratitude. He said, "As we express our gratitude, we must never forget the highest appreciation is not to utter the words, but to live by them." In our terms, it's called treat and move your feet. Same thing. What that says is that each of us has that power within us to make living our life with a grateful heart our default setting. Now this month, for the whole month, Reverend Debbie and Reverend Maddie talked about that. So now I want you to take out that card and flip it on the other side. Because right now, I am going to have us walk through these tools together. In the reading that Carol shared with me, it talked about how it's so difficult for us to stay on track, how we get off track. We'll have a grateful heart, and then something happens, and we'll get off track. Well, you get an opportunity to stay on track all the time. You just have to put things in place. And they don't have to be complicated things. They just need to be things that you make a commitment to do all the time. So let's just go down this list and let's quickly look at some of these. You can make the choice to use the power of enthusiasm to ignite your passion. That's the first thing Reverend Debbie talked about this month. Passion. Passion is actually a powerful force that cannot be stopped. How many of you, by a show of hands, have been passionate about something and you just kept going no matter what happened? Yes, passion is that energy. that wells up inside of us and has us move forward. We can use the power of faith to move forward fearlessly. Reverend Maddie talked about that. The power of faith rightly placed. Fear and faith cannot live in the same space together. They can't coexist together. When we have faith and it's rightly placed, it moves us forward through anything because there's no fear. There's a belief that we can do this. We can choose the power of plugging into and unite with our higher self. One of the points of information I came across when I was doing the research in the scientific journals, they took two cells out of a heart, just cells, and they put them under a microscope, and they continued to beat, but they were beating at their own pace. And something phenomenal happened. These two cells started gravitating towards each other. And when they touched, they started beating at the same beat. That is because that power wants to be united. It wants to be united. That's the nature of it. We want to be united. It feels bad when we're not united. So just think of the fact that when you plug in, you're plugging into the source that's already in your heart. You're consciously plugging into it. And you're unifying with it. And it's radiating out from you. Everybody around you gets the same feeling. We can keep our eyes off the small us, the ego, and focus on how we can help others. Be selfless in all that we do. Our community is so amazing because we are always supporting others, helping others as a community. As an individual, sometimes we forget and we put ourselves in that little bitty small space called the ego. And that breaks the connection to the power of a grateful heart. So if you continue to be selfless, you keep that connection, you keep plugged in, you keep that unity in place. We can make humility and generosity a daily practice. And we do that by taking direction from that still small voice. And then we move on it. That voice is always talking. But what happens is the chatter in our heads or the chatter around us is so loud, we don't hear it. But guess what? When you're plugged in and you're consciously living in the moment, you hear it. I hear it a lot. I walked into the store the other evening. It was dark. I saw this young man. He was a teenager. He was sitting by the door, just sitting there. He had his bags, he had a skateboard, and because of the work that we've done in this community, I knew that that was a homeless youth because we've been trained on how a homeless youth looks in our community. And I walked into the store and I heard that little voice say, you know, you should give him some money so he can eat something. And so I got the money. And when I came out, I was hoping he was still there. I came out, he was actually sitting there eating something. And I walked up to him and I said, you know, I was thinking that you probably are hungry. And he just looked at me and I said, what is that you're eating? And he said, somebody gave me something from McDonald's. And I said, well, here, take some money so you can buy you some more food. And he was like, okay, okay. And I walked off. And what happened for me is that inside of me, the power just surged. It just surged. And it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have been able to hear the voice, because I probably wouldn't have even seen him sitting there, because he was sitting in the shadows. So being conscious in life means that we don't allow all that chatter around us to be so powerful in our minds that we can't hear our higher self speaking to us. We can stop the practice of complaining about anything. Look for the blessings and know that everything is in divine right order. everything. It doesn't matter who won, who lost. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who likes you, who doesn't like you. It doesn't matter. I catch myself all the time when I start complaining about, I stop in the moment. And I just eliminate that. We can start a practice of bestowing blessings on all things. Just bless everything. Bless the trees, bless the flowers, bless the birds, bless other people, bless those people who cut you off on the freeway, bless those people who push in line in front of you, bless them. Because what happens when you give out these blessings, the energy increases, and guess what happens? It returns back to you. And you impact those other people. Because remember, if they're standing 10 feet from you, you guys are intermingling with each other. So you want to intermingle some good stuff for them. And it's like somebody having a bad day, just stand next to them and smile. Give them your energy. They won't know we're here. The power of a grateful heart is our birthright. It's ours. We have it. It's here. You don't have to go anywhere to find it or get it. It's here. Use it. No one can take it from you. An old wise lady told me one day, I was fretting on whether I should take early retirement. She said, baby, nobody can take your blessings from you, but you can give them away. You can give them away. Don't give away your blessings. Keep them for yourself and share them with others, but don't give them away. The power of a grateful heart makes living life with an attitude of gratitude your default setting. All that we have just read, all of these things here, you can add to them. If you just take one of these, what happens? You begin to move towards that which is already yours. In closing, I want to share a story about what happens when we fail to make the best choices for ourselves. One day, a mom looked out the window and she noticed her son, Johnny, playing church with their cat in the backyard. The cat was sitting quietly, looking and listening at Johnny. Johnny was preaching his heart out. The mom smiled, went back inside to do her work. Then a while later, she heard this commotion in the yard. She heard meowing and hissing, and she ran back to the window. She looked out to see Johnny baptizing the cat in a tub of water. She looked and said, Johnny, stop. You can't do that. The cat's afraid of water. Johnny looked up and said, he should have thought of that before he joined my church. Okay? Don't be like Johnny's cat and find yourself in a place that you don't want to be because you made the wrong decision. Make the right choices and live a life of gratitude with the power of a grateful heart as your default setting. Make that decision today and see what 2017 looks like tomorrow. Thank you.
Nice. Where'd those come from?
I gave them to him.
Let's try this again. Is this on? Yeah.